if you didn't eat it at supper, you got it for breakfast. And you didn't get hot cereal or cold cereal or anything till you ate what you left the night before or the day before. And we were talking one day, a boy died here about 2 years ago, Bob Puckett. He was much younger than I was, I'd say 5 or 6 years, but his older brother was about a year younger than I am. And he was telling Irene, he says, no, when my mother, le estoy diciendo el día que dijo el hombre, no, si mamá nos daba la comida, si no te lo daba para la cena, y, ¿te acuerdas de ese hombre?
Sí.
Ese es el que te digo que está en el retrato ese del otro día. El pelón ese que venía a sentarse aquí a platicar conmigo. I've been trying to think of something that he said that would remind, because she doesn't remember him very well. He hadn't been here for about 4 years, three. But he and I lived a half a block apart.
Mm-hmm.
And his older brother and I were together quite a bit more than this little fellow. But he was always part of the gang, you know, and went along and played too. George, the boy that came to eat today at noon, is 14, and David is 10.
Mm-hmm.
George will be 15 in October. Bob and we, the older boys that played, were like David, my youngest boy, tagging along with this fella. They go play ball and everything, and he gets hit and he gets hurt and he comes home and he goes back for more. And I don't show him too much sympathy unless he's badly hurt, you know. He went down the street and then the kid took his bike away from him and he made out like he was going to run into him. He backed up and this guy buzzed him and the next guy hit him in the chest and knocked him through a plate glass as big as half of that and cut his arm and bruised him up pretty bad. And I was a little put out because they had done it that way, but I didn't say anything because it had been 10 years ago, we'd have had bloodshed, but I can't see, I can't fight, I'm not going to talk to somebody and argue with them. I want to see the results of what I do, or I don't want to do it. I'd hate to take a gun and shoot him before he closed his fist at me. If he closed his fist, I'm afraid he'd hit me, I wouldn't be able to find him to shoot then. You know, I was raised in an era of a great deal of violence on both sides of the river. And a man that wouldn't fight was no good. He just didn't get any place. And all of my uncles and my father and my mother's brothers were all gunmen. They were all action men. They carried guns and they were considered, leave them alone because they're dangerous. And everybody respected them and left them alone because they were dangerous. And I grew up demanding the same respect. And if I go down the street and somebody always, there'll be one every time, hello Mr. I know that's some guy, I've slapped the tar out of his mouth and told him, don't you ever call me Buck. If you ever see me, you call me Mr. Combe or don't speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I hear somebody say Mr. Combe, I think, he probably don't know I'm lying and take advantage of me by not saying anything. I speak to him and go on.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got 2 or 3 dozen people in Brownsville that call me Mr. And I mean just David or this little fella, Joe, I'm Buck to everybody. For 50 years, I have never gone to the ranch when I could take children, but I didn't take some boy. And the last 16 years that I've got family of my own, now I can't take them, I can't drive. And I'm handicapped, I can't, they ride and I go out with them and I saddle the horses for them and all, but I can't ride and I can't see the enjoyment that I'm getting, that would have gotten out of it 10 years ago. But for 45 years, I never went to the ranch without taking some boy.
Mm-hmm.